Chapter 2. 2 days after her humiliating visit to the Chronicler's office, Cerulea looked up from her work to gaze at the reflections from Pearl Pond that skittered about on the ceiling. The small lake on the side of the palace had no pearls in it, it just reflected the building's white stone. Tutor Wrighton coughed deliberately. She shot him a grin, and he responded by raising his eyebrows at her. Instead of picking up her quill, Cerulea crossed to the window and surveyed the scudding clouds.
"Princella!" reprimanded Tutor Wrighton.
"I want to see if it's still fine out, because we talked about going out later."
Really, she wanted to see if the bluebird was perched anywhere in view, but she caught no sight of it.
"Princella, please return to your task."
Cerulea sighed dramatically and turned away from the window. She stopped to pet her little greyhound Zizi, who was toasting herself in a tight circle in front of the fire.
"Zizi, do you hear me?"
Getting no response, she crossed to the large desk where Wrighton traced another map for her to work on.
"How far do you think I can tip this inkwell before it spills?" she asked, reaching across his work to the filigreed brass pot.
Wrighton merely cocked an eyebrow. Cerulea tipped it once, slightly, then again more vigorously. The third time she cried, "Oops!" Wrighton sprang to his feet to get away from the liquid, but the inkwell still stood upright in her little fingers. Cerulea giggled at Wrighton's jump, but her tutor just shook his head with a sorrowful expression.
She decided he looked somewhat like a hound, what with his sad round eyes, long nose and big ears. "You're no fun," she said. Teasing him never made him laugh, it just made him sad. Reluctantly, Cerulea returned to her stool and began writing in names of the capitals of the duchies on the blank map of Weerendale on her own table. She'd filled in three more when she heard her mother's quick footsteps approaching down the tiled hall toward her lesson chamber. Most days, her mother or nursemaid would look in on her, especially since Tutor Wrighton had mentioned the Princella occasionally behaved impudently with him.
"Your Majesty," said her tutor, bowing as her mother walked in.
"How does our pupil today?" asked Mama, coming to stand behind Cerulea with a hand resting on her shoulder.
"She's been applying herself well enough, Your Majesty," he answered, though he lifted his brows a bit at Cerulea again.
"See, I've filled in all the Western duchies. I've only got the Eastern ones left."
Her mother stroked her hair. "After you write in all their names, Tutor Wrighton will tell you about the major crops in each. Don't you think that would be wise, Tutor?"
"Very wise," he replied.
"But, Mama, I was almost done with this. Why do you have to make it harder?"
"Hush, Cerulea. You will study as Wrighton and I see fit. You'll need to know so many, many things someday." There was a knock on the door, and then a guard allowed Ticklock, Mother's favourite messenger, to burst in.
"Beg pardon, Your Majesty," he said as he bowed.
Her mama took the fat envelope Ticklock offered on a silver tray. She always treated him gently, even if he did have that awful hole in his cheek, and whenever he spoke he made an odd noise that sounded half huffing and half whistling. Cerulea ran to Ticklock to play their giant go-a-walking game. He held out his hands while she stood on his large boots. She balanced on his feet as he took long steps. It took him only 5 strides to cover the whole length of the room.
"Faster,"
ordered Cerulea, while her mother pulled out several pages of thick vellum. But she found that the game was not as much fun as when she was little, before she was the only undefined Princella in the whole history of the realm. And her mama looked stricken.
"Mama, what's wrong?"
Mm-hmm,
said Mama, scanning several pages ahead. She turned to Ticklock.
You must find Councillor Balcazar and tell him to meet me in my closet.
I must attend to this matter, she continued. Righton, I've changed my mind. Instead of working on the duchies, have our girl look at larger maps. Teach her to identify the great powers and their major cities.
Her mother swished out, leaving only an overlooked token of her presence, like when the bluebird dropped a feather.
Cerulea picked up the discarded envelope. The sealing wax shone red, and when she folded the flap back in place, she made out an imprint showing many jagged shapes.
What's this, tutor?
That's the signet of Oromondo. Those symbolize the eight flames of their magi.
Flames?
Asked Cerulea.
Yes, in Oromondo they worship fire.
Not the waters of life?
Righton shook his head. He was preoccupied with pulling out a giant scroll and laying it out on the big easel table with weights to hold down the corners.
Come here, Princella. We will study Queen Katrina's map of the great powers, he said, moving a stool so she could stand on it. I will show you where your father's ships are now.
Will you show me this country with the red flames?
Of course, he said, patting the stool.
She didn't like the way this letter had troubled her mother.
I'm coming, she said, still staring at the red wax.
Princella!
On her way, she detoured to throw the envelope into the fire.
There, she said, with satisfaction. That's the end of them.
The fire flamed up so intensely around the envelope that it almost caught the hem of her skirt as she turned away.